Welcome to Blue Collar Love, the Starflyer 59 extravaganza, where we talk about all the things that involve Jason Martin and his various cohorts in some shape, form, or fashion. My name is Samuel.
And I'm Aaron.
And tonight we have a very special guest.
Hey, I'm Mark. Hi.
Hey, Mark. Welcome back to the show. We're really happy that you joined us again, man.
Yeah, thank you. Hopefully you can hear me all right.
We hear you clearly.
All right, far out.
All right, so tonight, the reason why we got Mark back is because when we did our ranking show of the side projects way back in November, we had several people tell us very nicely on Facebook that we missed a project. How come we didn't do the White Lighter project? And we're like, we skipped it. And people didn't like that.
They did not
so
like that
we
at
said,
all.
We gotta get this fixed. So tonight we are talking about reviewing, reminiscing over White Lighter, the self-titled album from 2014. So to kind of get us kicked off here, Mark, tell us about that White Lighter project. What was the inspiration behind it? Who was your cohorts behind it, et cetera, et cetera? Anything you got?
Yeah. So Steve Dale, from Project 86, both Steve and Randy were always, pretty close to the Stavesacre guys, my other band. And, you know, we did a couple albums with them, while they were in the studio. We did our last two records. Those guys might've been present for, except not the crowdfunded one. Anyhow, plus we had toured with Project, you know, so all of us were buddies. And then, you know, I have my relationship and Stavesacre has our relationship with Starflyer. Those guys knew each other separately. It just, you know, it's all Orange County musicians getting to know each other at one point or another. I mean, not everybody lives in Orange County anymore, but, you know, eventually you end up knowing everybody. And Martin and Stephen Dale and Randy and I in particular were all close just because of the some of the demos that we did for one of the Stavesacre records, and then, you know, some of the project that we all did together. So it just eventually, you know, guys jammed together, and you know, Steve jumped in on a couple of those Neon Horse songs. I couldn't tell you which ones, but he was there for a lot of the making of that album. And, you know, he's pretty quick on his fingers in terms of Pro Tools and, you know, working in the studio with the software that we use and stuff. So he's awesome to have around anyway. But so after Steve and I had done all that stuff together with Stavesacre and then, you know, with Neon Horse, he had said that he had had some songs of his own that he'd been working on and wondered if I might want to sing with him, which I love him. You know, Steve is one of the great dudes. And he and Randy both were just like such a huge part of our circle of trusted friends during the Stavesacre days, you know, but especially in the studio. So, and I know that he can write. I mean, Name a song on any of those project records that you think was killer, and Steve probably wrote it. You know, he's just a really, really skilled writer. And so when he started sending me files, we just, you know, started listening to them. And I don't know, just kind of felt comfortable, felt good, and we went and did it.
Now, you brought up a couple interesting points here. You mentioned Neon Horse. A lot among the kind of fandom of your guys' stuff, this album is kind of considered a spiritual successor to the Neon Horse albums. Would you say so?
Oh yeah, most. I mean, sure. I'd say it's a cousin.
Very nice. I also I noticed when I was listening to the songs and reviewing them that the songwriting credits were all you and Stephen Dale. So it was Stephen that wrote all the guitar parts and played most of the guitar on this album?
On the White Lighter record?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. He played all the guitars, all the bass. He might have even played the drums, man. I honestly don't remember. I think Martin might have jumped in on a track or two, but that's something you'd have to ask with Steve.
As we go through this, we'll point that out because I have the record and it lists who played what on what. So,
okay, far out. And then just for, I don't know, I'm sure you guys have seen it, but those YouTube videos that we did for White Lighter, you know, Martin was in there jamming with
yes.
us. So it's all part of the same family.
I love it so much because, you know, you guys are all just this kind of unofficial band that's a band together and you guys all play on each other's stuff. It's so much fun.
And the album cover is cool. I love the artwork too. To Steven. I'm sure I didn't look, but I'm assuming Steven was behind that too, as he usually is.
Actually, I asked Ryan Clark.
Ryan, that's what I meant. That's what I meant, Ryan. I'm sorry, Ryan, not Steven. Yeah.
We know Ryan from the Tooth and Nail days.
Yeah. Yeah, of course.
Ryan and I had been talking a bit about different things at that time, and I just thought, hey man, why don't we ask that dude? He's awesome. Oh yeah, one of the Clark brothers to do your record? Yeah, it's probably gonna look pretty good. And then of course it did.
It's very calming. It's got the like that Buddhist feel to it, like those symbols that like inspire like calmness, which the lyrics don't at all, but we'll get into that.
I don't know. Maybe it's just because my view is skewed by the music, but I look at that cover and I do not feel calm whatsoever. I'm just kind of like,
okay. Different folks. It takes different folks.
Well, so I will give, kind of like we do normally, we give our backgrounds with our albums. This one I have no connection to whatsoever, other than the fact that Neon Horse, specifically the second Neon Horse record, came up at number 2 on my Starflyer Side Projects Best Of list. So I really love that project. So because of that, I was excited going in to review this. But prior to that, I didn't have a lot of connection, honestly. What about you?
For me, we start doing the podcast, and as we got towards the end, you know, I don't know, on the Starfire group or something, somebody posted a link of one of the YouTube videos Mark was talking about for White Lighter, and I had never seen. I was like, what? At this point, I hadn't heard of. I knew of Neon Horse, but I didn't know who was in it. Like, I was like vaguely whatever. So I was like, Mark Solomon and Jason did something together. Like, what? And so then, of course, from there, you know, I commented and they're like, oh, it's White Lighter album, and then Neon Horse. And so then, you know, I listened to it a couple times. You can't find the record anywhere. I don't know why. And so we had Stephen Dale on, and he talked about it, and he was any gracious dude. He sent me a copy. I was like, thanks, man. You know, and I've been jamming it since.
Cool. Well, if you guys have no objections, this may be one of our quickest intros in history. We're going to go ahead and just hop into this. We'll hit this up song by song. And Mark, you know the drill. Me and Aaron will give our opinions, but feel free to tell us we're wrong.
Yes.
Or tell us what we, you know, whatever. You know, we're all here for, we're all family here. So it's all good.
I will, man. Don't worry.
All right.
This record is precious to me, so.
Oh, cool. I'm excited to hear about this, because
we'll get into it.
Mark, let's go ahead and let's have you start this off, man. Tell us about Swan, the opening track here.
Yeah. You know, I just, I probably mentioned this before when we talked about the horse, you know, it's hard to write lyrics for stuff until you hear the music, you know. For me, I mean, sure, there's plenty of people who can write poetry and that it'll fit and whatever, but that's just not my style. I bow to the musicians in the band. If I was the person writing the music for this stuff, it would be hilarious. So to me, it's just like you can't have a song, you can't write a sing, like a melody, a vocal melody, or something that you think is going to connect with another human being without knowing the setting in which it's going to be presented. You know, it's like you don't hand people your podcast or tell people about your podcast and then don't tell them what they're looking for. You know what I'm saying? It's like, it just, to me, is there's a connection that has to be made there. Some person, for me, that's what music is. It's has to have, I have to feel the music first, and then link up with it just in whatever emotion I feel like it is parallel with, you know, and then I can write from there. And to me, as soon as I heard the opening guitar of this song, I just felt like, you know, it was artistic and it was beautiful and just like set this like really, really cool tone. And I don't know, I just thought about painting, you know, having a painting that sort of embodied where you're at right now and then just diving out of where you're at into a new place. And that's really what the song was about. Stretch out. Try something new, experience something different. And also as kind of a message to myself when writing it is don't be afraid to be a singer.
Yeah.
I love that positive attitude.
It's hard. There's a lot of pretentious bullshit out there and I try not to be part of it, you know, but man, it's terrifying to really try to sing something, because if you really put it out there, man, people can be cruel, and you gotta give it a shot though. If you don't risk anything, no one's gonna feel it.
Yes.
That's the pretentious Solomon that you're gonna get for the day.
Aaron, what do you got?
Before I start, I just want to one comment overall for the whole album. The songs on this album all are good. And so when I rank them and stuff, it's like a track meet, you know, you from first to 10th place in a track meet, it's like fractions of seconds, right? Like it would be like a second difference from first place to 10th place. So that's how these songs are. Yeah. And Swan, I'm with you, Mark. When I first had an opener, those opening guitar chords, I was thinking metal westerner. Why don't we have more metal western music? And the first two lines, you know, they reflect lyrically on how our best work is sometimes built on unstable ground, bound to fail. Next verse talks about the alienation that we all feel here on earth. Last verse, I feel, it's about consumerism and, you know, rightly describing it, which I know pretty much is your wheelhouse there, Mark. opener and very poetic. But I mean, gosh, yeah. And I'm glad you made the comment about the singing, because yeah, you can, like, when you're really singing it, like, you can feel the vocal rhythm in your voice. Kind of reminds me of the song Miami that Starfire would do like a decade later. I'm used to hearing, you know, we're all used to hearing Dale play the bass, but it's refreshing for him to play guitar here. He crushed it.
He's mad talented. People don't understand. Pale Dale is no joke, man. Yeah.
And like the list here, personnel, Mark on vocals, obviously, Steven on guitar, Trey Manny on drums, and Jason Martin on keyboards. This is my fourth favorite song in this album. 3.5 stars, great start. What do you think, Sam? Oh, I have to mention the lyric. Nothing left but fear and trembling. That's a great line.
Great line.
I took it from a pretty popular book.
Okay. Which book?
The Bible.
Oh. Heard of that one. What do you think, Sam?
So to me, and that intro sounds like the opening of a movie involving castles and lightning. That's what I picture in my head, like very gothic, traditional vampire gothic.
That does not clash with metal western, man.
Not at all.
if you had a metal western and there was a vampire involved, you would not be surprised at all. It'd be sweet.
No,
you would not accept that.
I think the comparisons to Neon Horse are kind of inevitable, but this project, while similar, is definitely darker. Just in tone and lyrics, this song in particular is, it's like if Neon Horse got darker, if that's a thing.
No, if Neon Horse became a fundamentalist preacher, preaching about the end of the world.
Something like that. I don't know. If Norman Horse sobered up.
Yeah.
that's a
pretty good one. Fundamentalist to what? I couldn't tell you, but
that's a good point.
Something I was impressed on this song is Trey Manny's drums. Because Trey Manny plays on a lot of Starflyer related projects, but I feel like in this song in particular, his drums are really up front. And I just, it was nice to be able to hear them and hear that technical work of his, because he is a really talented drummer that I feel like gets overlooked sometimes.
Yeah, as soon as I said I couldn't remember who played the drums, I knew I was wrong. I knew who played it because Jason and Trey, they're like longtime buddies, man. They've been friends for years and years. And as soon as you said it, I was like, oh yeah, geez. Sorry, Trey.
Okay. You've both been in too many bands and make too much music to remember everything.
And the lyrics do give me Ecclesiastics vibes, kind of like you were saying, Aaron, particularly the line, after all the fortune is gained, what is left but losing all these pennies? I love that line.
That's all anything is, dude. Just more pennies.
I feel like that's also because it talks about money, even in a metaphorical sense, it reminds me of a Jason lyric. Because he always gives kind of one-liners like that.
Yeah.
What is left but losing all these pennies? All right. We're going to go ahead and hop into the next song, Son of Dawn. And if you guys don't mind, I'm going to go first and tell you what I think the song's about. So you guys can tell me I'm right or wrong.
Okay.
All right.
All right. First off, music, get out of the way. To me, this kind of sounds like something off of Dial M. I really like the keyboard throughout the course of it. Kind of gives a poppy beat. And the instrumentation in general, like this great guitar riff, it just serves the song so well. So this is kind of like a poppy New Order song, musically. The lyrics, though. So if I'm understanding the lyrics correctly, I'm pretty sure this song is a first-person invitation from Satan. Particularly the line, you'll call, I'll answer, do what thou would do. The do what thou would do is famously a variation on Aleister Crowley's Do What Thou Wilt. What makes this song really kind of scary to me, like in a good way, in the best way possible, is it's that it's not dark or unnerving from a musical perspective, which is exactly what I would imagine a devil's invitation would feel like. You know, just a pat on the back and assurance that everything will be fine. And I love that so many of the lyrics are slight variations or twistings on things that Jesus said, such as, should your road be narrow? Should you turn aside? My arms are open. Arms are open, are waiting. When Jesus said, straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life. So if I am correct, that is some really cool wordplay you had there. But tell me if I'm wrong.
Wait, before you go, Mark, I want to take a stab in what I think it's about.
Let's hear it.
Okay. So first of all, the personnel on this, Mark on vocals, Dale on guitars and bass, D. Brotherton on drums, and Jason Martin on keys. I think this is a song, a Jesus song, that is centered around the idea that you must let him lead or else the relationship won't work. And I see what you're saying, Sam, but I think it was even more a play on words where that's what Satan's saying. But Jesus is also saying that if you fall into this trap, this was what will await you. Don't be tricked. Mark?
It's our twist. You're both kind of right. It is definitely from the perspective of Satan.
Mm-hmm.
But through the filter of what American evangelicals want to believe.
Oh.
Okay, that makes sense.
We want to believe that really I'll find a place to rest my head. You know, really, I can be at home. And if that's what they want, what else would this devil do, you know? I mean, what else? Give them what they want. There's a particular line in it. I don't know, never remember my own stuff. But let's see here. I can't remember. Should your will be narrow? Of course it will be. If everything's a lie, you know?
Yeah.
You got the opposite is the truth. And so now but if you like what you hear in the lie, or if you really believe that's what he must have meant, you know what I'm saying? I like to play with the idea, because I think that American evangelicals really do believe the way is wide and the number is many.
Mm. You know,
that's just my take.
It's really interesting too, because musically, like Sam mentioned, it is a little more upbeat than the first song. I like your description of it, Sam. The drum and bass are, you know, it's a groove. And you know, in a lot of, like, especially evangelical music and stuff, it's about a groove and getting you to elicit a feeling and an emotion. And then, like, your vocals over the bridge is like, that's where, because I was thinking, like, Sam, that this is a song from Satan or anything, but from Jesus. But then, like, the sinister tone of the vocals and the bridge, I'm like, oh, that's when it made me think, oh, this is Jesus trying to warn you from Satan. That's where it came, because I was like, that sounded a little eerie there.
The thing is, like, there are names that we associate with Jesus that were not associated with Jesus in the Bible. The Star of Morning sounds like what you want it to be.
It's Satan. Yeah.
The dawn of every day. These are not good things, man.
That's a good point.
But, you know, man, it's meant to be confusing. That's the idea.
Well, you confused this. And overall, this 3 stars for me, my 9th favorite song of the 10. Again, not a bad thing. Still a solid song. I love it, lyrically especially. Go ahead, Mark.
Oh, no. So, thank you. Thank you.
All right. Anything else you want to add on this song before we move forward?
I think I'm good.
No, I hope I didn't blow it up, man.
You didn't.
No, I love it. I love it because I was mostly right.
You get too cocky, Sam. Your heart will be blessed. Hold on now.
All right, Aaron, you have yet to go first. Tell us your thoughts on City Sailor.
Okay. All right. So City Sailor, 8th overall for me. Also a solid 3 star song on this. We have Mark again on vocals, Stephen Dale on guitars and bass, Trey's back on drums, and Andy Prickett from Starflyer. No, just the prayer chain. That was Eric that was in Starflyer on lead guitar. All right, Son of the Dawn. City Sailor. I feel like this song is about a modern day prodigal son, person wandering the city alone, being a city sailor, you know, sailing across cities, which I think is a great metaphor, by the way. But ultimately, he needs to be back home with his father, God. I mean, that's my take on it anyway. I really like the imagery in this, just the idea of a city sailor, because we call people, you know, vagabonds, nomads, homeless, wanderers, drifters, but I like the idea of sailing through a city. I love that image. Guitar breakdown at the beginning of the song's perfection. Andy and Dal are just killing it throughout the song. I hear elements of this is like neon horse flyer here, like the perfect mix of that. Neon 59, we'll say. I can listen to this song on repeat. At 3 minutes 25 seconds, there's an acoustic sound, the portion of the song that's so gorgeous. and I think I hear like a tambourine or something like that in the mix. I don't know, something like shingling, like a shimmering sound. Probably some keyboard part, but yeah, I love this song. Eighth overall, like I said, 3 stars. Who's going next?
Oh, so I love that piano at the intro, which follows by a great guitar riff. And I kind of said this earlier, but really all these songs, because we didn't know he was going to interview you when I was first reviewing this. But so I said this before we started interviewing you, all these songs are, a great credit to Mark Solomon and Stephen Dale. Because the guitar work is so good throughout this. And, I love your lyrics on this. So it's just really cool to see it.
Thank you.
Especially with Stephen Dale, stepping forward, getting to hear some stuff that he doesn't normally do.
This was my favorite song on the record, when we first wrote it, because I just, I always loved the riff. I thought the riff was killer. And,
it is,
you know, there's this thing like, I don't remember if it was on a horse, like on a horse song, album, or if it was on White Lighter, or if it was on some other weird thing, but, I feel like it might have been the horse, because Randy might have been talking about it with us, because he was there during the mixing of those horse records, you know, with Jerry McNeely. The idea is that every song should have like a surprise in it, you know, and like, I don't know, you know, the bridge is like that's like the sweet part of the melon, man. It's like you can't do it the whole time, but you can really go for it in that one shot.
Yeah,
the acoustic stuff comes out, dude. To me, I would say maybe Little Lamb on the first horse record would be the closest second for me in terms of like pretty sounding things that I definitely cannot wait to write something over. You know what I mean? Like when I heard it, I was just like, this is gonna be, I'm gonna sound so rad on this. Because I know it's right in my wheelhouse, man. That kind of cello range, and I just, that's what I dig. And I really felt like the song had like a good hold on the melancholy, you know. And right about this time, I was going into the beginning of a pretty heavy depression that kind of really manifested itself over a few years, in particular when we had finally moved to Florida. But, you know, a lot of things were emotionally kind of playing with my head at that time. And, you know, we moved in like 2010. Which, by the way, White Lighter was written and recorded over a long span of time. I mean, it was a pretty stretched out deal. But even a year and a half before we moved out of California, you know, we just had decided we were going. And so I was just trying to come to terms with that. And I had never had any intention of leaving where I grew up, you know, especially not to go to Florida. So like a sea change of melancholy. And like, I knew it was coming when we started writing these songs. And so like that one in particular, I don't know. I don't feel like it really hit home all the way until we had decided we were moving and stuff. I don't know. It's just like a tough time, you know? So like, I'm like the last person to finish. I'm the last person to write any of my parts because I have to hear the music first, and then the last person to write any lyrics because I have to say no to ideas and, you know, say things aren't going to work. But this one, man, it just like, I knew immediately when I heard it where it was going to go. And I just, I don't know. It's, to me, it came out excellent. And it's definitely one of my favorite like performances that I've ever been able to do, and that is 100% attributable to the music. You got to be able to sing over something that sounds that good at least once. You know?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah,
and I am.
And
I do kind of love the lyrics to this. If you just took these lyrics and transposed
them to a different melody, different song, they could almost pass as like a CCM song.
Just the kind of water metaphors.
Yeah. Well, it's the song really about faith, dude. It's not necessarily about, you know. And I don't mean by about the concept of faith. It's about when you finally have to put some weight on your faith, which I sang about on the last stage of your album. It's just, you know, you got to be able to lean on it. At some point, you really believe that God has your back. You got to just stop worrying about it. Let it happen.
And I especially like, you were talking about your vocal performance was nailing at that time. And I have to agree, because I like the way your voice kind of softens up, specifically when you're singing the line, "Return, my son, cast your line, believe, my son, believe." And your voice just kind of gets really soft there. And it's a really beautiful moment in the song.
It kind of reminds me, like, as far as the passion and like some of those stuff on some Stave Saker songs. Shiv and Zizit Scarecrow and stuff like that. Like, the conviction just really comes through.
Thank you. I will say, I'm not trying to be token or nothing, but you got to remember, man, I got Martin and Steve coaching me through stuff, telling me no, not good enough. Yes, that will work. You know what I mean?
Gotcha. Yeah.
But thank you for that. That's awesome. I mean, I really meant what I said. If you're a singer, you got to get a chance to sing over something like that at least once or twice. You know?
For sure.
Really beautiful.
All right. Let's go ahead and pop into the next one. And Mark, I'll let you start on this one because I was baffled by it a little bit. That's right.
In all the good ways.
This one was weird. This song took forever to write, dude. I mean, where do I go with it? It's like an upbeat vibe, you know, but I'm not like a really upbeat singer. So, you know, I don't know. I just feel like, if you want a song that this relates to a little bit, there's a song called Size Stage Syndrome on one of the Stave Saker EPs. And it's really kind of just talking to yourself, you know. This is the way things are going to go. You know, are you going to believe or not? Do you have enough faith to just walk this life and let it play out to what it's going to be? Or are you going to constantly be wondering should you, maybe, I don't know, faith without action, dead, in my opinion. And scripturally, I think it's pretty sound.
Like a string on the submarine, which Mellon said.
You got it. It's just the way I feel, man. And maybe that's just the way I see that dynamic being explained, I guess.
Before we get into it, you have to explain the lyric. I want to dig my hands down and deep down in my woman.
Meaning, you have whatever your life is that you got, you know, why are you not doing the most with it that you can? Like, when I say dig my hands down deep, it's not a double entendre or anything weird. It's literally just like, I have been around so many people. I was a bartender for so many years, and you see these guys and their wives sitting there, and it's not just the guys, it's the wives too. People just, where's the connection, man? Dig a little.
Oh, okay. Dig
deeper, you know? Okay. And then you hear people talking about their wives, and there's just no intimacy at all. I'm not saying that's not true or that's not the way things are. I just say that sounds pretty boring. I don't know, you know, it's like a missed opportunity.
It's probably true of a lot of relationships.
It can be, you know, but like Naked Souls by Moonlight. I mean, that's there's all these moments where people say these like real dramatic things and they make these big declarations, you know, particularly when they're in their 20s, and then they get to be 40 and they're just like, I don't know, man, I don't really want to try any of that stuff. I'll just kind of hope things will change if I keep doing the same thing, you know.
Yeah. Okay.
That's all. Not too deep. Yeah, to be honest with you, the song didn't feel super deep. So, you know, it just felt kind of light, and that to me was the vibe.
I'm so glad you explained that, because I had the exact same question. So
I'm so glad you came on. Because we had Steve Hoodlong up here of one of his songs, and it was the Devil and Entendre that we weren't expecting.
I mean, you know, I'm not going to say that we didn't think people would think that. That's kind of the fun of it.
Yeah.
I like having a little fun with people, you know.
Well, for me, this is my sixth favorite song on the album. 3.5 stars. I feel like, yeah, I know. Thank you for your insight in the lyrics. For me, I feel like this song about, like you're saying, wanting deeper in relationships with those close to you. And, you know, I think it was pretty straightforward. This the heaviest sound of the song so far. A little weird, but definitely heavy too. First time that we get background vocals, but I think there's like background vocals, but if I'm not correct, are those just your vocals sampled, or are those background vocals in other songs?
That's probably me.
Okay.
And let's see. We have personnel-wise, of course, Mark on vocals again, Steven on guitar and bass, Trey back on drums, and Andy on lead guitar again. This song, although it's weird, it strangely still sounds kind of modern. And like, I wouldn't be too surprised if this could be on like a hard rock radio or modern rock radio station. The guitar solo at 2:30, top shelf goodness. I don't know if that was, is that Steven or Andy?
I honestly don't know.
I don't either, but it sounds amazing. This song is ear candy. That's right. What do you say, Sam?
I too love the heavier guitar, or maybe it's a really heavy bass. I honestly can't tell.
Yeah.
But I love it. Like, bring on the metal always. Andy Prickett does a super good job on the lead guitar line. Once again, I'm really appreciating Trey Manny's drums here. I feel like they're shining on this album in a way they didn't on the Starflyer albums as much. And I like that your vocals, Mark, around 2:20 in, I hear a little Neon Horse there, and that made me happy, because as I've said, I love that project a lot.
Yeah, man. Yeah, it's a lighter, it's a little more, it's the tempo is there. I mean, dude, I had to write all these lyrics and stuff to this song that I wasn't sure where to go with it but they were like drum machines. So when I finally got to hear the drums, it was awesome.
Gotcha. Okay.
Nice. All right, let's move on to probably my favorite title in the whole entire album, Breath Cancer.
I read that as breathe. You're right, it's breath. All this time I was reading
breathe. All right. Go ahead, Mark, just tell us about it. Tell us about Breath Cancer.
Yeah, so first of all, that title came from Steve. he always has, him and Martin are always coming up with weird titles and stuff like that. But this was the working title, and I just thought it was awesome. So I wanted to figure out something that fit the vibe.
So he, know, so before you even wrote lyrics?
Yeah, that was the working title, Breath Cancer. I was like, that's one of the best,
wow,
best names of a song I've ever heard. I'm writing something like about that, you know.
Okay.
Yeah, I can't remember any of the other ones, but that's good stuff.
That guitar at the beginning of it gives me like 70s cool cop Miami Vice. I'm getting like Miami Vice vibes from this.
I mean, honestly, I feel like this song could easily be on the back streets of a gothic, vampire riddled, post-apocalyptic desert western. I mean, come on, man.
I got you.
This is the secret soundtrack to the Sam Raimi vampire post-apocalyptic metal film.
Oily.
These lyrics are brutal. I love it. I get the feeling of calling out a hypocrite who thinks they're better than everyone else and is trying to tell everyone else how they're so wrong. I love the line, "A horse so high, I'm surprised you don't know this single finger ain't me waving."
I wrote that down too as a lyric that I really like too.
It's me saying you're number one. Yeah, without going into specifics, I would say this song was it was definitely about calling out, but it was about calling out a specific hypocrite who just at that point needed calling out. And you know, sometimes that's what happens. I got called out when I was an idiot. You know, some people got to get called out.
Okay, so not to pry too hard, but is this like a public figure or like a personal person?
I mean,
or you just rather not say?
I'll definitely not say. But
okay,
those involved know exactly who I'm talking to.
Okay.
Well, it's, you know, it's people, they go up and they go down, man. People have good times, bad times. They struggle. They make choices that they really wish they hadn't. And, you know, they fail people. That's not what I'm talking about. Oh, I'm talking about consistent behavior of shaking salt on people and trying to, you know, low key cut them down. And it's like, you know, and then to step back and pose as this like super important figure. It just can't do it no more.
And watches as I'm drowning and leans in to say, "You're dying." I was like, wow. But what you're saying, that makes sense. I see what you're saying. That makes a lot more sense.
Dude, you could.
There's people like that. We've all ran into people like that.
You absolutely have. You could be helping right now, but instead, you're literally observing me go down in flames, and you're telling me, it's like you're giving me the play-by-play of my own failures. Thanks, man. That's so great.
You've been one of Job's friends right now. Thanks.
100%.
To me, the dark tone of the guitars here are spooky, and it's like a spooky, majestic feel. It's really weird. Kind of like how I feel about owls. They're spooky, but kind of cool looking. At 1 minute 40 seconds, the interplay of the guitars are exquisite. You can fear the anger and angst in Mark's vocals. And he berates somebody he knows personally, apparently. This kind of like reminds me of the Venom of the song A New Pirate Traditional by Joy Electric. Like people are supposed to be helping you who don't. I actually wrote that down. Wow, okay. So I did get that. This is my third favorite song on this album. 3.5 stars. I'm sorry, 3 3/4 stars. It's almost there to 4. The personnel, Mark again on vocals, Dale on guitars, bass, D. Brotherton's back on drums, Eddie Prickett's lead guitar, and Jason's back on keys.
That's, I think it's David Brotherton, and I remember that guy was super cool. He was really okay. Nice.
David, he's listed on like Changes of the Guard and some other Starfire. I was like, who's, and I can't find this guy anywhere on like anywhere in the world.
Cool, he's
still around.
I haven't talked to him since we made the record, but he was a cool guy.
Mm. But yeah, and again, like you said, lyrically, yeah, deceitful friends who are about their own good to your own detriment. So like you're saying, it's not just people who mess up, and we all do, and we've failed people constantly. I failed my kids, you know, not intentionally, but it's the people who kind of take pleasure in your demise and pretend to be your friend. Yeah, they're definitely breath cancer. And it's the close of side one of the record. So,
yeah, I do love, I'm a big, like, track list type person. And so I love the symmetry of just having five even tracks on each side. It makes me happy.
Yeah. And it's a great closer.
All right. Let's go ahead and just keep chugging along here. Someone lead us out on heavy. It's heavy, man. Actually, this one feels like a natural successor to the last song, honestly. But
you want me to go first?
Yeah, go for it.
All right. So musically, nothing really stands out to me. I think, you know, like Ronnie Barton talked about, like, sometimes on albums you got that no man's land where, you know, it's not filler, but, you know, you have a vision for the album. You have, you know, your message you're trying to say. And so then some things start rhyming a lot, you know. And so I think the formula that's been put out in this point, this gothic, metal, western, apocalyptic, zombie feel music, you know, it continues here. It's something that's been, you know, building throughout the album. But, I mean, the way you sing, to kneel down on the sound, like, that's, it's just, again, we said it before, but it's the spookiness, like the vile, the venom that's in that line, the way you sing that, it's like really great. Nothing isn't something, our lies aren't truth, you know, it's just, again, just great lyrics. My seventh favorite song, 3 stars. Again, great song. Nothing to really pick at on this song, but again, it's not like anything that really like jumps out, like, you know, the intro to Swan or anything like that.
I love the super fuzzy guitars and bass. Just turn that fuzz all the way up. I just have to imagine someone had their fuzz pedal just turning up to 11. It just makes me happy. Also, I love that that lead guitar line, which sounds like it may be a keyboard line. I can't tell. Which is kind of fun. It's just, it's such a weird, soupy mix. And I also love the lines, because like I said, this is kind of a sequel song to the last one, it feels like. And the line, "You tell such tales, but you forget, baby, none of that's real."
Same person.
Jesus. This guy. He's a guy.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Man, I'll tell you, I mean, musically, this song was an instant favorite of everybody on the label and in the band because of the guitar. It was the working title. I don't remember the full working title, but it started with ZZ, you know, ZZ something, and because I felt like it sounded like a ZZ Top Jam. That it's just, there's something weird about it. Like, you should be driving like a rat rod or something. I don't know. And it was a super hard song to write for because it's, in a weird way, it's kind of upbeat, you know, but then it's got that like sort of little snap back, you know, that those guitar, the sort of descending guitars at the end of each chorus, just there was like a little line of sinister to it that I was trying to find. So
you found it.
There it is. I think that's one of the ones we recorded live on YouTube. It's on that same session.
Personnel, Mark on vocals, Steven guitar, bass, drums, Trey's back, Andy Prickard on lead guitar, and Jason on keys.
Very nice. Yeah, I love it.
It was super fun song. Super fun song.
So I missed that YouTube train. I'm going to have to go look up those videos after this.
It's just like the album. It's super hard to find. You literally have to search for that specific thing. Any more general, and it's nowhere. Really weird. Yeah.
I'll try to find the links and send them to you, Sam.
All right, let's go on to probably my personal favorite track from this album. And the reason why is I actually had this song on a random playlist I made. I just thought it was a cool title. And was like, yeah, I'll throw it on there. Why not? And it's been just, and so it's just been chilling on this playlist that I listen to every once in a while for years now. And so because of that, I like it. So Mark, tell us about the title track here, Omens.
Yeah, sure. I was, again, you know, you hear the music and it just, it's like, it's vicious, man. That's a vicious jam. And I, you know, I felt like it needed a subject matter that met the severity of it. I don't know. I don't want to sound like that arty about it, but it felt like a song that, you know, definitely wasn't like a silly bump. So when I don't know, I had just, I've been thinking about people, you know, just immediately dismissing anyone who acts by faith in, but then they'll turn around and say the goofiest stuff like, man, I really hope they find him, you know? I might have been watching like a TV show about missing persons or something like that, and people saying like, you know, we're crossing our fingers that we, you know, we'll get a lead or whatever, you know, all this kind of stuff. And I'm just like, sure. Dude, that's the same, those same people will be like, man, you know, don't tell me you're praying for me or whatever, you know? And I mean,
you're right. You're absolutely right. You're 100% right.
I will say that, you know, with sometimes with good reason, I mean, a lot of people, some of those same people I talked about earlier, who consider themselves believers, like, they do believe that saying you're going to pray for somebody is helping them.
Yes.
And that ain't it.
Yeah.
So I understand why people are cynical and jaded, and that doesn't fall on them, man. If you follow the tenets of scripture, and if you follow the spirit of anything that Jesus said, that's our problem. That's a problem we have need to solve. So to me, you know, I just, that being said, let's talk about these fools. I mean, I'm just kind of like, dude, you know, you're making fun of me when I sincerely say I'm praying for my loved one or whatever. You're making fun of me, but now, like, you're doing the same thing, dude. You wish and hope for all the best. Like, well, what's that mean?
Santa
Claus.
So, the line, God ain't dead. He was never there. Ain't it time, you see, we're all alone, no one's coming. That's saying something from the point of view of the people who, like you're saying, will say prayer's bullshit, but I'm sorry. But we'll also say, oh, I hope they find whoever's missing.
It's the same. That's exactly what I mean. It's just, okay. You know, okay. And they'll say it like with such confidence.
Yeah. You know? Well, I mean, And I'm glad, you know, because I was confused about that, because, you know, I've mentioned before, I used to be a pastor, I was a Baptist minister, but now I'm agnostic. And so I'm with you, like, when people, like, just outright dismiss religion, like, it's all just bunk, or when people just outright dismiss science or whatever, and, like, people, like you're saying, like, we all believe in, like, fairy tales, like, I mean, people believe in historical things that never happened. I mean, we believe in all types, Santa Claus.
We're living in our time currently on this earth is being defined as believing any weird crap that we can come up with.
I mean, that is right. I believe that avocados could cure his cancer, and you know, like, we all are silly, and so, yes, all right, so that makes sense. And I think that's the song saying, we're all silly, can we get along, right?
I mean, yeah, sort of. I'm just saying, you know, you wish was my I love that as a response to a person who dismisses what you believe in.
Yes.
And then wishes things were different. It's like, or wishes things were better or whatever, you know?
Yeah.
But well, I do think it's worth saying, you know, there's a reason why I believe what I believe. And that's what the song is.
Exactly. Exactly. Well, for me, this is my favorite song on the album. 4 stars. It ain't even close. Logistics before I get into all this. Mark on vocals, Stephen Dale guitar, bass, David Brotherton on drums, Andy on lead guitar, and Jason on guitar and keys. First time that's happened, Jason on guitars. I feel, yeah, okay, I appreciate what you're saying, but to me, what I took before talking to you, now, lyrically, the song's about the tension between believing and a loving God, but also seeing the horrors of the modern world, you know, past and future, past and present. You see the omens to support your views, like, okay, if you're religious, you're like, okay, well, God's, he's going to save, he's going to redeem. On the other end, well, if God loves me so much, why is my child dead? And that's kind of how I took it lyrically. But musically, Jason, Andy, and Dale on the guitars, these guitars throughout this are just, they are just humming.
They're wicked.
Yeah, there you go. That's a good word. They're wicked. This is slow brooding black. This is slow brooding. If Slow Dive, Black Sabbath, and New Order made a song together, this is what it would sound like.
Sweet. I'll allow it.
It's perfect. All these guitars provide, like the, because like you just described, like I could tell, like lyrically, like this was important lyrically, song wise, and this music is saying, listen to this, listen to these lyrics, and you can't help but listen. Let's see. There's keyboards. There's a little like a keyboard flourish. I think at 2 minutes, it's some kooky sounding thing, which is really good. But yeah, the lyrics again. I mean, your best lyrics on this song yet. And like I said, it's my favorite song on this album. What you got, Sam?
You guys have talked about it so much. You guys did awesome. I love the keyboard riff at the beginning. It just gives that perfect gothy, perfect feel. Gothy new wave, I guess. So The Cure. But better. I love that super chunky guitar and bass. And I love all the stuff that you said about the lyrics. My favorite line from this was the kind of closing line, because I feel like it's such a hopeful closing line. It's honestly the line that always stuck out to me when I had this on my playlist previously, is I know I'm not alone. This isn't wishful thinking. It's hoping things unseen. We all have it, but I know where mine comes from.
Mm. Yeah.
And it's exactly what you were saying. You know, everyone believes in something. In fact, I was just listening to a book where there was a great quote in it I loved so much that essentially boiled down to everyone believes in the something. In this sense, there is no atheist. We all just have some of us just know to which gods we pray to.
I've always said that too. For you to believe there's no God, that's a belief system.
Yeah. And I'm not even trying to, I wasn't trying to hurt nobody. I just want to.
No, not at all. I think it's a very honest being like, hey, at least I am honest about what I believe and not just hiding behind the veil of whatever.
I think it's more human than that. I didn't take it as being mean spirit either. I think, you know, how I see it is like we all have belief system. Let's not look down upon somebody because they believe in one thing or another. If you're going to believe in something, at least interrogate that, figure out why you believe that. Just don't take it at face value, but then also don't shit crap on mine because I've done the research and I believe in whatever.
All right. Well, that was a hard thing to say, Aaron. So let's talk about hard love.
You go ahead, Sam. Go ahead.
So something I haven't said during this review, but I wrote down a lot, was how much this kind of gives me 70s vibes. And this guitar riff sounds very 70s to me. I get like just that classic rock feel.
I don't listen to a lot of 70s music, so I don't know what the 70s sounded like outside of Santana.
So when I hear this...
It's old 70s butt rock, man.
Okay.
When I hear this guitar riff, I just think of like a motorcycle gang riding downtown.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a good one. I mean, I don't want to keep going back to the same metaphor, man, but I mean, Mad Max fits in the same world. You know what I mean?
It's just true.
Things are a little weird and rough around the edges, but I liked the vibe, you know. It felt...
Yeah, I love the vibe. And you know what? I think that's kind of fitting because this song is talking about love being like, you know, a bit tough, right? That kind of hard love, where you kind of paraphrase 1 Corinthians here. Hard love is unchanging when test, when tried, keeps holding, keep steady, don't change with the changing times.
Yeah.
I feel like the music is perfectly fitting for that lyrical theme.
Sweet. Thank you. I appreciate that.
Aaron, what do you have about the song?
All right, Heart Love, vocals Mark, guitars, bass Steven, David Brotherton's back on drums, Andy lead guitar, Jason on keys. That opening verse, a world full of clashing skulls and seething rage, last stop shaping up as a firing range, where's the voice of gentleness buried underneath stones cast by blind men. I could go on forever about that, but like you said about Mad Max, that fits perfectly there. But, and it's so like, where's the gentleness? Like, it's so, there's so much toxic masculinity out there. And for a man to say, life is hard, I need some gentleness. This is a lot. This is hard to love. It's hard to do this. I think that's such a wonderful message to put out there.
Thank you very much, man. That's a very nice thing to say.
And it really just concisely and accurately summarizes all of human history. It's hard, whether we're running from the woolly mammoths, whether we're, you know, working in a slum, you know, slum factory in the 1700s, whether you're a slave or whether you're in modern America just trying to make it with inflation. It's hard, and we just need some gentleness. You know, that's you just in three lines just summed up all of our existence. That's hard to do.
I don't know that I necessarily set out to do that, man. So,
well, I mean, you can't seek out to be wise. You're just it. So this is number 5 on the overall on this album, 3.5 stars. Those ha's at the beginning, I love that. Let's see. Human history has it's just like a continual violence that's mitigated and resisted by people, you know, that are blinded. You know, on one side, like, it's always in conflict. Like, one side's blinded, like you said, but blind men just casting stones for whatever reason. And then the other side's, like, asking for gentleness. And, like, just back and forth between hope and blind rage and violence. It just goes on and on. This is the most upbeat song, which is crazy because of the lyrics. But I mean, I love like that's like music crack for me. If you have like upbeat music and depressing lyrics, I'm on board. I believe love is the strongest thing that has persevered for humanity, and I think that's what this song is saying. That's what heart love is. It will persevere. They sound like it could be a Starfire 59 B-side though, too, which is not a bad thing to say. Andy's guitars on this song are phenomenal, so infectious. I love how none of the guys in this band didn't change with the changing times. You guys have just always been consistent, you know, sticking to your guns, calling people out when they need to be called out, being humble when you need to be humble. So I really appreciate that.
All right, Mark, anything else you want to add to this song?
Oh, man, it was fun. It was a fun little jam. And I don't know. Sometimes you just... stick your head out the window and say you're mad as hell and not going to take it anymore. I don't know.
It doesn't have to be more deep than that. That resonates.
All right. Let's go ahead and move on to the next one. This one, more so than all the others, and I make this comparison all the time to your guys' music, rather it be Jason, rather it be Terry Taylor, or rather it be Mark Salman. This makes me feel like I'm listening to a Danny Elfman score in the best way possible. This is like the most Halloween song on this album, and it's really cool. I love the guitars and the keys on it, but I've said that multiple times through about pretty much everything. So... Mark, tell us about Make Fire.
I mean, obviously, once again, when the music is working, it just kind of, I don't know, gives a little nudge in the right direction and opens up a little window in your head, you know. Sometimes it takes longer than others, but in this case, it was a pretty easy right, you know. I also think this Make Fire was like probably closer to anything I'd, the closest thing to Stage Acre of anything I've done in any of these other groups, you know what I mean? Like it had a little more, less of a retro vibe to it, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But also not like, I don't know. It was a good, comfortable feeling jam. And I mean, I love 90s rock. So to me, it fit right in there, but was a kind of a modern approach to 90s rock, you know? And then, I don't know. The lyrics, when I was writing them, I think the bridge part, the All Your Greatness part, I think that was written after we initially demoed the song. So this is another one of those like kind of surprises that finds itself in there. And to me, I don't know, all of the parts definitely spoke to something a little more, you know, sinister. And then I also kind of wrote it it's hard to explain, but Jeff Ballou from Stavesacre and Crucified, you know, his wife Susie was a really big Neon Horse fan, and was asking,
nice.
You know, she wanted hearing about asking about Neon Horse songs. So I thought, you know, I'll give her a little Neon Horse, you know, kind of vibe, that little spookiness. She and I think she dug it too, so that was kind of cool. You know,
that's interesting because like with the keys, oh yeah, so Jason Martin on keys, Andy Prickett lead guitar, drums Trey Manny, Stephen Dale guitar, bass, and of course Mark on vocals. You can hear throughout the album, I mentioned this earlier, like Jason's learned from Richard Swift. I'm not saying that Jason and I played keyboards before, but clearly hanging out with Richard Swift and being around him, some of that magic rubbed off. You can hear that on display here throughout the album. And it's interesting that you said that, you know, you're now that you say that this is the most Stavesacre sounding song that you did outside of that band. I think, you know, I love Stavesacre. It's one of my favorite bands ever of all time. But I also appreciate when artists try and do new things and they don't get complacent. And I think that the rest of the songs, like you said, you went out, you're trying for something new and y'all did it. And because this one kind of reminded me, now that you mentioned, I'm like, yeah, it's kind of, I think that's why this took it down a little bit. Not that it's a bad song, but it's just like, it's not as forward moving as the rest. It's still a 3-star song. It is my least favorite song on the album, but I won't skip it. It's still great. I mean, it's still a good song.
It's not skippable.
Gnarly.
Yeah, I'm telling you, like, we've done reviews of some, you know, Sam and I, where there's some skippable Starfire songs. So, but you've always been a firebrand in the Christian scene, you know. You mentioned some things. I don't know if you guys have read the memoir that you wrote. I forgot already. What is it, the memoir?
In my book?
Yeah.
Simplicity.
Yeah, I have that. There's some stuff in there. Like, so if you haven't read it, check it out. But you, I mean, and God bless you. You call out hypocrites, and you're honest about, you know, how there's a wilderness to this life internally and externally, and how you gotta acknowledge that and, you know, deal with that. And I think that this is a song about you admitting that. Hey guys, I is who I is. I'm a firebrand. You can take me or not. I'm gonna make fire.
I just think, you know, it's worth remembering that there's just none of us really know what's going on around every corner, man. It could just all go right down the dumper.
Yeah. And the drums on this are, like you mentioned throughout, with Trey Manny on drums, Sam, and here, this is my favorite drumming on the whole album. At 156, Jason keys are magical. I mean, again, it just gives me Swift vibes. And like the breaths, the way you sing these vocals, like really like give this song life. And like, I really just appreciate like the self-reflection in these lyrics. I mean, not like you don't do that in the past, but I really do appreciate the in this song.
It was fun to make, fun song to make, and that old Susie Belusi could get a kick out of it was definitely it was discussed.
All right, before we move on to the last song, I do have one last question about this song. Is it narrated by death?
It's narrated by the unknown.
Oh,
death, the unknown. Okay, close enough.
Anything you don't control, man.
I like it. Okay. All right, Aaron, why don't you kick us off on track 10, the last one here, Spearhead.
All right. We're wrapping up. It's a smaller contingent on this album. I mean, on this song. Mark vocals, Steven guitar bass, David Brotherton on drums, and Jason Martin, our dude, on lead guitar
and keys. This is my second favorite song on the album, 4 stars. This song is so apropos for our political climate. The fear, the hate, and insecurities often manifested by our leaders trying to just scare us, pit us against each other, just take advantage of us, you know. This is Country Flyer Metal 59. until Jason, and then Jason burst out. Knowing Jason's plan, I'm assuming at the 42nd mark, that guitar bombast, that's him. It sounds like the deranged cousin of some song from Changing of the Guard in all the right ways. This is a perfect closer for this album. So amazing. You can't help but dance to it, which I guess I should need to though. So Country Flyer, EDM, Metal Flyer 59. it's just so crazy that you guys, like you mentioned, you know, how y'all can just keep coming up with different sonic soundscapes and be true to what you do musically, but still experiment. The only complaint, this song should be longer. Like, that outro should be longer. That's the only knock I have against it.
The song was really rich sounding. Felt like it was a good bookend to Swan. And
yes,
you know, lyrically was something I had just been contemplating for years. This song is directly related lyrically to The Tower and Hymn on the last Stageacre record that we made. And
okay,
it's just that whole imagery of, you know, building up walls instead of building longer tables and all that. And I just don't, you know, the gentleness is there, you know, but there's also, I like that in this song, it's, you know, we're not just going to keep waiting forever, you know.
Yep.
Eventually people are going to get sick of this.
Yes.
You know,
and the spearheads will be kicking up and we'll have the reign of terror, like the French Revolution, and quit, fast, and hurry.
I don't know how everything's going to go, man. What do I know? I'm just some guy, you know, but I don't know, man. I'm tired of having gas thrown on me, you know.
Yeah.
From all kinds of directions. And I hate it that if I say that, there's going to be people immediately that are like, oh, I guess the both sides. No, man, this is just me saying exactly what's going on as I see it. I'm just not trying to tell no tales.
Amen.
Yeah, something I said about this track, but I think it applies to the whole entire album as a whole, is it dances on the edge of nihilism without ever quite falling all the way.
I think, I mean, you're right. I think this is like the rock Ecclesiastes. It's like, it's not completely nihilism. It's accurately seeing the world and saying still hope in spite of all evidence of hope still.
You're supposed to be able to read these lyrics on the spearhead itself. That was in my head. You know what I mean? Just like, imagine if that landed on, you know, in the wall next to your head and that was written on it.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, I have that kind of, that's kind of a fun. Yeah, man.
Yeah.
My only complaint about this song is with Jason being on lead guitar, I wish we would have gotten more of that Martin guitar sound. Like, it's not bad. Like, it's still very good. I do love the Jason guitar riffs, and it wasn't as prominent on this as I would have hoped. But
oh, he was I think he was just doing something different. You can hear it. You can hear Jay. He's just doing something different.
Yeah, I mean, just keep in mind, man. This is Steve's baby, dude. Steve's writing jams. So
okay,
he's gonna keep it as what he feels, you know. And that's why I think it sounds different and still in the same family. It's a cousin, you know.
Yeah.
With that, I do got to run, but I wanted to tell you guys something. I had asked you to wait until next week. And I'm sorry to cut things off. I'm definitely getting the signal.
Oh, you're fine.
But I wanted to let you know, I just got back. You might be able to tell my voice is a little raggedy. I just came back from Southern California, messing around with some new horsey stuff.
So. No way.
Yes.
Yes.
It's taking a little different turn. There's gonna be some definite surprises. It's not a full length record. We're not looking. There's no one has time for a full length record these days. We're just having some fun and doing what we could do.
Who's putting it out?
But I didn't want to say anything unless I actually like walked away, because there's a chance none of the stuff would work and we wouldn't get to track anything. But because that's a risk of not being able to jam together all the time. But
who's putting it out?
I don't want to say that. Yeah, I think it's known, okay. But I don't know. I don't feel comfortable being the one to say that.
Okay, that's fair.
It'll be very small, but you guys will find it.
Okay, nice, awesome.
Hey, Mark, thank you so. That excites me so much. And thank you for your time. We really appreciate it.
Yes, thank you so much.
Hopefully that makes up for such an abrupt ending, but just want to let you guys know, man, I appreciate what you're doing. I appreciate what you're doing, and I appreciate the fact that you're paying some tribute to a pretty amazing writer. You know, I know it's about White Lighter in this instance, and Steve, and obviously myself, but, you know, I think it's cool to show some props to Jason. The dude is legit, man, so...
As is everybody who's involved in this project. You take care, Mark.
Hey, man. Thank you, guys. Take care.
All right, later. And with that, just all the production credits. The album was produced by Jason Martin and White Lighter. Mixed by J.R. McNeely and mastered by T.W. Walsh. Put out by Northern Records.
Yep. So my final thoughts on this album is it's a really good album with, of course, a strong cast of musicians. I mean, these guys are all pros. They all know what they're doing. The lyrical work, while not perfect, it got me thinking. Like, it's a very thought-provoking album. And the goth rock is pretty awesome. You know, that darker, edgier version of Neon Horse.
Yeah.
So this album, music, lyrics, overall, I give it a 2.5 across the board, which brings it up to 7.5 out of 9. I'm glad I like this album so much, because the first time I listened to it a couple years ago, I was just kind of like, meh. Coming back around to it, I'm like, oh yeah, okay, I'm seeing where this is at now.
You gotta listen to the lyrics and know the lyrics, like, because the music is good. But when you can find out the lyrics, that's what you need to do. So for me, I think lyrically, these are like Stavesacre quality lyrics, like so good. Like, I don't know, man. 2.5, 3. Okay, I'll come back to that. Musically, I'll say it's like 2.5. So yeah, 2.5 musically, 3 for lyrics. And then just overall, you know, staying power. Yeah, I think this is probably like a 7.5, 8 album. 7.5, 7.5, yeah. I'm definitely, you know, since, you know, we started it and I got it, I've listened to it a lot. And it's still kind of, I mean, compared to the rest of Jason's stuff, this is relatively new to me. So that could go up, but right now it's like a 7.5.
Very nice. Well, guys, thank you so much for joining us. This is the podcast that never ends. And my name is Samuel, as always.
And I'm Aaron. We got more horsey coming our way.
I am super pumped about that.
I am too.
As always, guys, this has been a Brothers King Media production.
Thanks, and bye.